Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 1st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we continue to study and to see the fulfillment of all that you have told us in advance. We ask today that you would continue to guide us, informing us and preparing us for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you from the Deseret News. Now that website is spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, News. And the article was published on April the 10th, 2020. The writer of the article is Kelsley Dallas. The first name is spelled K-E-L-S-E-Y, and the last name is spelled D-A-L-L-A-S. The title of the article is A New Religion Debate. Is it wrong for the government to send stimulus money directly to churches? The title again, A New Religion Debate. Is it wrong for the government to send stimulus money directly to churches? And the subtext of that article is, the coronavirus pandemic disrupted the status quo when it comes to church-state separation. The writer again of the article is Kelsley Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S, published April the 10th, 2020. And it is found in the Deseret News, D-E-S-E-R-E-T, News. Here's the article. The Trump administration is doing so under the latest federal stimulus package. What is it doing? The current economic downturns is hurting all types of organizations. Should the government treat sacred and secular businesses the same when it offers relief? The administration is doing so under the latest federal stimulus package, which sets aside $350 billion for small business loans. Churches and charities can access the funds under the same terms as for-profit businesses, a policy that some say is unlawfully forcing taxpayers to subsidize acts of faith. We're seeing the government pay directly for religious activity, and that's not allowed under the Constitution's established clause, said Allison Gill, the Vice President of Policy for American Atheists. Other legal experts characterize the administration's actions differently, arguing that the government is right to help churches outlast state-mandated social distancing rules. What the government is doing here is making sure people can still exercise their right to worship, says Stanley Carlson, the founder and senior director of the Institutional Religious Freedom Alliance in Washington, D.C. People on both sides of the debate agree the government has more work to do. In its next stimulus package, Congress can provide additional, less controversial forms of support to faith-based organizations and clear up some of the confusion surrounding existing funds. Although churches and charities operate differently than for-profit businesses, they're facing a similar consequence due to COVID-19. Less money is coming in, bills are piling up, and pandemic-related restrictions stand in the way of many potential solutions. The coronavirus has had a big effect on churches, Carlson said. Nearly all houses of worship have stopped holding in-person worship services and moved as many activities as possible online. This shift, as well as the economic downturn caused by the coronavirus, has fueled a significant drop in financial donations. Half of Protestant pastors, 52%, say giving has decreased compared to earlier this year, including 30% who reported that it's dropped by more than 50%, according to a survey released last week by Lifeway Research. The decrease in donations hurts more than pastors. Churches are now having a harder time funding charitable programs and paying a variety of employees, from janitors to childcare providers, religious leaders said. Lawmakers acknowledge these struggles while finalizing how funds provided by the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act would be paid out. Vice President Mike Pence, Senator Marco Rubio, Republican Florida, and others promised to ensure faith-based organizations could access small business loans. Last week, these promises became reality when the Small Business Administration released proposed guidelines for the stimulus funds. Lenders were told to treat charities and churches, which are usually ineligible for federally guaranteed small business loans, the same as other more traditional applicants. Faith-based organizations are eligible to receive small business loans regardless of whether they provide secular social services, the Small Business Administration explains in its resource guide for churches. Under a new Paycheck Protection Program, nearly all types of employers with fewer than 500 employees can receive up to $10 million to pay salaries, mortgage interest or rental payments, and utility bills for 8 weeks. The low-interest loan is forgivable so long as businesses only use it for eligible expenses and current employee salaries are maintained. What the program tries to do is to keep everybody, including houses of worship, from being harmed by these things like bans on group gatherings, so we don't have to do anything to cause them total disruption. Despite being built around a widely shared goal, the Paycheck Protection Program concerned many religious freedom activists when details were first released. They were concerned. They did not immediately agree. Organizations like American Atheists argued it was wrong to allow forgivable loans to fund pastor salaries, while others claimed the money came with too many strings attached. A lot of the normal protections for religious organizations, that is, participating in government funding programs, weren't present at first, said Justin Butterfield, Deputy General Counsel for First Liberty Institute, a Texas-based law firm focused on religious freedom issues. The initial program rules said loans recipients needed to obey a wide range of non-discriminatory protections. Employers would be ineligible if they hired or fired people based on sex, religious benefits, religious beliefs, or sexual orientation. If you're a church, it's eminently reasonable to be able to select your pastor on the basis of religion. Many faiths also limit certain positions to men, Butterfield said. After First Liberty and other organizations shared their concerns, the Small Business Administration quickly adjusted its approach. Churches and charities can now receive faith-based exemptions to many non-discriminatory rules, Carlson said. A lot has been done to make it possible for houses of worship and other faith-based institutions to take the money without suppressing their religious character. These changes satisfied one group of critics, but they only acted to the frustrations of other adversary groups. It's unprecedented for taxpayers' money to be used in this way, Gill said. We're not objecting to the fact that churches can receive funding. It's that loans being used for religious or religious purposes are able to be given, she said. Such a use of public money violates the Constitution's Establishment Clause and puts religious institutions at risk of increased government interference, argues on an April 7th letter to the Small Business Administration for the Interfaith Alliance, National Council of Jewish Women, and four other faith-based groups. Existing federal statutes, regulations, and policies include numerous safeguards to ensure public funds do not support religious activity, they wrote. Carlson doesn't dispute that the Paycheck Protection Program is a first-of-its-kind opportunity for religious institutions. Faith-based organizations can typically only access public funds if they're helping the government to carry out a secular mission. If the government wants something good to happen, it will offer grants or subsidies to the organizations that do these good things, Carlson said. However, he believes there's a legal precedent for church participation in the stimulus loans. In contexts like the military and prison system, the government is allowed to pay religious leaders to offer spiritual support to people in need. The Department of Defense pays people to authentically deliver religious activities because they're God's soldiers and sailors that keep them from going to their house of worship, Carlson said. They're not establishing religion. They're just keeping people from being harmed. The stimulus funds are meant to make up for damage caused by social distancing rules, not expanding religious offerings across the country. The associate executive director said, the purpose of the program is to maintain employment during an economic and health crisis in the country, not to advance or prefer religion. Gill agreed that the government is allowed to fund religious resources in places like prisons, but argued the current restrictions on religious practice come nowhere close to the situation in those other contexts which are being explored. Because of the coronavirus, the government is stopping churches from gathering, but not from reaching out to members in other ways, she said. It's exercising much less control over religious activity than the military does. Gill's organization and others are still considering whether to file lawsuits challenging the current structure of the Paycheck Potential Loans. In the meantime, they're encouraging Congress and the Small Business Administration to make adjustments to the current stimulus program and any future funding bills. This is a critical moment to put in basic church-state protections, Gill said. Now, of course, you realize what she's saying here and what most of the people in the article are saying. They're saying that this is wrong, that when the government begins to finance the churches, then the government automatically begins to expand their control over the churches. And, of course, the government, the administration right now, is claiming that that is not going to happen. The fact of the matter is, though, if you remember that when this president first came to office, he promised that he would abandon and rescind the Johnson Amendment. Now, the Johnson Amendment is an amendment that refused to allow churches to engage in financial support of political parties or political candidates. Now you're seeing the reverse. The government is now financing or giving loans, and forgivable loans now. This is an important thing. To churches. You and I need to understand that this obviously is an expansion of the close relationship that exists between the far-right evangelicals and this administration. All of the churches being pastored by all of the men who have supported this president and who believe in some cases that he is like Cyrus. Some of them have even described him as being chosen of God. This is a response to that kind of embracing, because they believe that this administration is the one administration that will allow them to establish the United States of America as a Christian nation, a theocracy. Men like Robert Jeffries, men like Jerry Falwell Jr., Franklin Graham Jr., these men who have embraced the concept of restoring America to a Christian nation. And when I say that, I mean, I've got to pause and say, that sounds really good. I mean, it really sounds wonderful that they want to make the nation a Christian nation. The question has got to be, what kind of Christian nation do they want to make it into? You and I have been warned in advance of exactly what kind of Christian nation is coming down the pike. Not only will there be a specific kind of Christianity, but a specific way of worshiping and a specific day on which to worship. But all of this is leading in that interesting direction. The churches are happy. Many of the churches are happy because now, because of the fall off in giving, they now have a source that they will be able to go after and be able to finance themselves. Not only finance their pastors, but finance the other individuals who are paid in their churches. They're looking for this kind of help, and they're happy that this kind of help is happening, especially since these loans will be forgivable. That is the important word here. Forgivable. It is the same word which means that the government will now finance the existence of the churches while this period of time progresses. It is clear to see where we're heading. It is easy to see the direction where we will go. Let's continue to take a look at this article a little further. Gill, the lady that we were talking about just now, says this. She's not advocating for churches and charities to lose access to paycheck protection loans. Instead, she wants the portion of the funds used for clergy paychecks and sanctuary upkeep to be considered a non-forgivable loan. What we're asking for is that the portion used for inherently religious activity, like clergy salary, to be required to be paid back, Gill said. Carlson is also hoping that Congress isn't done working on the controversial stimulus loans, although for different reasons than Gill, he believes the initial $350 billion, that's with a B, dollars in funds, for small businesses will run out before many churches complete their applications. President Donald Trump has already requested $250 billion in additional paycheck protection funds, and national nonprofit leaders are calling for some stimulus money to be allocated specifically for charities in need of financial support. Neither of these proposals would resolve the current debate over government funding for faith groups, but both would enable more religious organizations to access financial relief, Carlson said. If Congress wants to pursue a less controversial solution, lawmakers could include more charitable giving incentives in the next stimulus bill, he added. Already, taxpayers have been given the opportunity to deduct up to $300 in donations from their taxable income when they take the standard deduction. The good thing about charitable giving incentives is that it encourages people to be generous and the money comes without any church-state strings, Carlson said. So that article I was reading comes from, and it's something that I would suggest that you take a look at, it comes from the Deseret News, D-E-S-E-R-E-T News. It was published on April the 10th, 2020, written by Kelsey Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S. And the title of that article is A New Religious Debate. Is it wrong for the government to send stimulus money directly to churches? Before we close today, let me just give you a quick view of another article that is found in the Ethics of Religious Liberty Commission. It was published on April the 3rd, 2020, and the writer of that article is a policy staff writer. The topic is Economic Relief for Churches and Nonprofits Amid the COVID-19 Crisis. Let me read that topic again for you. Economic relief for churches and nonprofit amidst the COVID-19 crisis. Listen to some of that article. Last week, the Congress passed and the President signed into law the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act of 2020, or CARES Act. This bipartisan law is the largest economic relief package in American history. At $2.2 trillion, the stimulus package seeks to aid hospitals, local governments, and businesses in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. Some provisions of the bill are aimed at helping individual Americans, such as issuing many American relief checks to help soften the economic blow and expanding unemployment insurance benefits. Certain other provisions positively benefit nonprofits and houses of worship. Below is a brief rundown of some of the top-line issues that could affect individuals, nonprofits, and churches. And then it gives you a list of all of those things that could easily be a part of this situation. Now, notice this has become quite a matter of discussion. And you and I need to understand that this will only be the beginning. I cannot imagine that after we have started down this road, there will ever be a sort of return to the normal events that take place. The money from the government is being given to the churches, And the loans, they call them loans, but the money that is given to the churches as loans are described as being forgivable loans. They are there to allow for the paying of pastors and paying of staff members in the churches. Now, I want to say this again. This money is coming from the federal government. It is therefore easy to see the direction in which we're heading. And we have been shown from heaven where this nation will go. You and I need to be ready. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. We thank you that you have told us in advance, so that as we see these creeping issues that are occurring day by day, that we will have an understanding of where this will end. We ask that you would give us the strength and courage to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 1st, 2020.